Thank you, Warren. Dear Swami, I offer this talk to you, and I pray that you come through my words and speak through me and love through me and bring your presence here so we can experience your presence and feel your glory. And brothers and sisters on the spiritual path, it's a blessing and a worry to say a few words about Swami. And Swami is another name for Satya Sai Baba, name of respect and of affection. And I'll call Swami, Swami. It's a blessing to be able to say a few words. And I know how difficult it is to speak about Swami. I've tried for 21 years. And I pray that he actually helps me. I'm going to give an introductory presentation as if this was an absolutely new audience to Sai Baba, and supplemented with some video. Over the past year and a half, I took 4 trips to India and 3 trips to Holland in helping consult on this film, which is supposed to be an introduction to Swami. And I hope that it shows some of the marvelous aspects of this extraordinary being who has captivated me and many others so much that many of us, all we want to do is just say his name and immerse ourselves in his presence. What kind of force can do that to thinking, relatively sane human beings? That they become immersed in him and all they want to do is say his name and think about him and offer things to him. So I hope I can try to express to you some of the glory that is Satya Sai Baba. Now, 21 years ago, I was about 9 years into psychiatry, and I evidently recognized it fairly slowly, but I recognized psychiatry wasn't going to help me understand some of the basic questions. It helps people understand something about anxiety and depression and interpersonal relationships and how to get along socially, but it leaves out an ocean of question about, or answer about, the fundamental questions. Why are we here? In this brief, small period of time, what are we doing walking around this Earth, which is part of a solar system, which is one system among billions in our galaxy, which is one galaxy among billions in all of creation? What are we doing here? Why were we born? Are we just a mistake? And even though we understand these questions, they leave us quickly. We don't really seem to be committed to trying to find an answer to such an unusual question. What is the purpose of this life? Where are we coming from? Where are we going? Is there some meaning to this besides earning a living and dying with perhaps a few pennies in our pocket or nothing in our pocket? It makes no difference. But psychiatry didn't answer this. I wondered, well, was this just a neurotic preoccupation? Thank God somebody of authority, Satya Sai Baba, would tell me later that all of these concerns about social existence and about work and about everyday life is a drop compared to the ocean of importance of concerning ourselves with what is the purpose of our life, where did we come from, where are we going. It's not a small concern, it's a great, great concern. Yet very little of psychiatry is devoted to it. So I began to wonder, is there somebody that could help me understand something about these questions? And I began to ask the question, have you ever seen a miracle? 21 years ago, I wrote yoga instructor by the name of Indra Devi in Takati. I wrote her a letter asking if I could go down to her ranch. She had a retreat in Takati, and to ask her some questions about yoga and its relationship to Western psychiatry. And she invited me, so Sharon and I went down. We came in the front door, and there was a picture of Sai Baba. But he was standing amongst devotees who were sitting in a devotional pose. And I asked her about who's Sai Baba, and the whole day was filled with nothing but talk about Sai Baba. And she told me things that were extraordinary, and I couldn't believe. And so as newcomers, I'm going to repeat just a few things which I grew to recognize are very extraordinary aspects of a human being. Sai Baba would know who you are when you came to him. He would know everything about you. Now that's sort of unusual. He would know how to cure your illness or tell you about advice about your loved ones and your sick people at home, or tell you something to help your business. Or he could materialize an object. He could materialize an object that you're thinking. Now, I thought that was quite an unusual thing. I stopped her right there and I says, can he really do miracles? Yes, he does it daily and people can see it. Well, what is the significance of that? To me, it had a great deal of meaning because being in psychiatry so long, I heard many people talk, and I know that talk is cheap. And even the great ones, even the great preachers, you have to wonder what they really do know, because it's easier to talk and look good than to be good. You should talk good, be good, and do good, says Sai Baba. But it's evidently it's not such a big power to stand in front of people and convince them about things. It's harder to be a good person. Sai Baba says it like this, that many people are heroes on the podium and zeros in life. And I knew that very well, because some of the best teachers were just so verbal and articulate and great, and I could take a look at their life, and I said, well, that's the way you should be. You're living your life. My God, we're in deep trouble. So I wanted to see a miracle. What did the miracle mean to me? It meant that this person would know something that I didn't know. If I stood in front of you and transformed myself into a bird, it would be unusual. What would I know to do something like that? But the Sai Baba, I heard, could materialize himself into Jesus or Krishna or Shiva, the divine forms, or be two or more places at once, and he could even raise the dead. Now, devotees very too easily sometimes just list a whole list of powers. But where have you ever heard of such a thing? A person that is leading the life of Christ and doing the same miracles of Christ, it's an extraordinary thing. He can be two or more places at once. He can visit you in a dream. He can materialize in your home. Pictures in your home can fill with ash. He materializes ash frequently. What kind of a level of consciousness or a being or an expression of love can do such a thing? It's really extraordinary. To me, it meant I should listen a little bit, at least look. What is the meaning of such a thing? Indra Devi had a picture of Sai Baba, and it was covered with ash, and she told me that the picture was materializing ash. 12,000 miles from him, it was covered with ash. What does it mean? We hear these stories all the time. What does such a thing mean? Because we so easily just take it for granted. My God, is somebody actually omnipresent and had that kind of extension? And she said, look, I have a film of him, and she pulled out a little projector, and she tried to make it work, and it sputtered, and a lamp broke and we couldn't see it. Just whetted our appetite. 21 years later, there are two big centers in the area. There are well-established programs, spiritual, educational, and service programs. We have meetings like this. People set up the room and they sell nice books and they give food. And we have a projector, I hope, that has a real good lamp to it. I hope. 21 years, like a breeze, I can tell you. It's just like a breeze. I don't know if I'll be around in 21 years. Who knows if we're around tomorrow? It just goes like that. What is life? And in that time, thank God, over a year and a half period of time, Sai Baba gave me permission to help express my appreciation and gratitude for what he's showing us in the form of consulting on a film. And I hope that we all enjoy some of these this film, because seeing him, I could tell you that there he is standing in front of a million people. There he is that people from all over the world, politicians, educators, scientists, people of the highest knowledge, they're laying on the ground, kissing his feet. They're standing in front of him. He's sitting there and they're talking about how he's been to their homes, how he's been to their countries, and he's never left India except for one time. They're telling how he fills their life with meaning, this little man, and I can tell you that and tell you that a million people come to see him, and it's just words, but you're going to see some phenomenal things on this video. Extraordinary. I don't know if I can express it well enough. What is the meaning of this, that there is somebody that has this extraordinary ability? I know of nobody else besides in the life of Krishna, of Rama, and of Jesus that have shown this to mankind. I know of no, and I knew as soon as I met him that he was a world teacher and he was going to be known extraordinarily far and wide. So what was my personal experience? I'll just tell you one or two little experiences. One, my first trip to India, Sai Baba was going to present himself in a large stadium, maybe 50 to 100,000 people, just to see him, called Darshan, to visualize a holy one. And I was way at the outskirts of Bombay. Bombay is very large. I was invited to a home of a devotee who gave me lunch, and then I was leaving by myself. I'm in a suburb someplace. I'm going to catch a cab and go to the stadium. And as I leave this little apartment building, Sai Baba passes me and goes in the very same building. This is unusual. It's like going to New York and you're wanting to see some great figure, Michael Jordan, or the president, or some great figure, and you're way in the suburb someplace, and you're coming out, and he passes you and goes into the door next to yours. I knew then that something was unusual. Even though it hadn't struck my heart, I knew just scientifically that it was a very unusual occurrence. And of course, people told me that if you even come to a meeting like this, you think it's your doing, but it's not your doing. This is a rather sort of a superficial understanding of who we are, to believe that we're doing everything. And that the major facets of our life are directed by ourselves. There is a deeper meaning. And if we just come to a meeting like this, I'm convinced now that it has to do more about him than about ourselves. So what is it? What is it that brought our first meeting like that? Very soon afterward, I was at a summer school that he was organizing. There were speakers from all over the world showing great respect. Dr. Bhagavantam, a great nuclear scientist, one of the country's leading scientists and physicists, told me directly on first meeting, Sai Baba picked up a handful of dirt, poured it into his hand, and as he poured it, it turned into the Bhagavad Gita, a holy scripture, a central a holy book of Hinduism. It turned into the Bhagavad Gita in Dr. Bhagavantam's native tongue. I then saw many expressions of his materializing, and you will too in the film. He materializes ash, and you'll see that frequently. One day, I was sitting on the grounds. I heard many people talking about spirituality. I heard him talk about spirituality. Such a simple little lesson as that it's good to be good. It's important to be good. We cannot say that enough in this world where a few miles from here there are gang wars and senseless shootings and the most terrible inhumanities to man that you can imagine. Be good. Do good, be good, see good. I thought it was simple, simplistic. I thought, I came all the way to India for this. And I remember how I thought that what he was saying was like Victorian, like a throwback to earlier times. I was very far away from him. This was really the turning point for me. He was surrounded by thousands of people, and with instant he was in front of me, and he smiled, and you have to see the presence. His presence is extraordinary. There's something about his authority, about his evenness, about his connection with people, about his extension into the holiest regions. There's something about looking at him, about the way he moves, about the way he talks. And he was in front of me with this extraordinary smile that just lit me up completely. If you're in front of Sai Baba and he smiles at you, it's not just a smile, it is so full of joy you can't imagine. You smile from inside here someplace, your heart, you just, I felt like molecules, and my body was going to evaporate into molecules. Oh, that Sandweiss is a hysterical old fogey. That's a, people, okay, would believe that. He's an old, just hysterical. I'm telling you, really, I know something about emotional reactions, and really, there's something extraordinary in his presence, a sense of holiness. The hardest people, I've seen the hardest people weep just from looking at him. I'm sitting on the grounds, and I say, my God, the rules that govern the development of one's spiritual life are more real than the rules of physics, than the rules that govern the physical universe. And as I was just thinking this, he came up in front of me from nowhere, and he just stood in bliss for a half a minute like this, and then he walked away. Well, after my first visit there, all these stories, all these experiences, I was convinced that we are seeing a world teacher who has no limitation and extends every place. There's no question in my mind that this world is filled with His presence, that it is more real than the everyday eating and sleeping that we do, that He is here, and that if we turn ourselves, our consciousness, our awareness, we hook it into divinity in some level. Many people feel this with Sai Baba. They say His name and they think about Him, and they keep Him close. Keep the lump of coal next to the live ember so it becomes live ember. Keep the focus. And this power that has given us birth and given us consciousness and of which we are all a part, it will come into our hearts and ignite us. Many people feel that as they turn themselves to this extraordinary power, they actually feel His presence in their life. And He said, you can do this with any form of divinity. All of them are potent and filled with power and love. And you turn yourself with the real love and real interest in making relationship, and this love will come into you, and you'll develop a live relationship. So I was once with Swami, and the question is, what is this meaning that He seems to be all places at all times? He seems to know everything. He seems to be all powerful and all loving. What does it mean? And He once told me that people believe that they're separate from each other, and that the world is made up of separate names and forms. That's imagination. We take it for granted and we live our lives that way, but it's imagination. You are not separate from me. You and I are actually the same person. Impossible to believe. Maybe we can understand it in the form of our own dreams. We are asleep and we talk to somebody in our dream. We have an actual conversation and they tell us something we've never known. And we wake up and we say, what is that? Was I with that person or was that all my own mind? And likewise, in this waked dream, one day we wake up and we realize we are the totality. We are divinity. That's what He said. He said, look it, I've come to show people that they're not their bodies and their minds who they generally identify with. The limitation, that which is subject to birth and death. This is not who we are. We are the infinite. He said, the difference between you and me is that I know this and you don't. Now, what a bit of information this is. It's very crucial to lead a life, a meaningful, fulfilled life, to understand this. He says, I am every place at all times. I am the most distant star. I'm in the closest blade of grass. I fill all of space as light. I am in everybody's heart. There's no place I am not. I always have been and always will be. I can transmute earth into sky and sky into earth. And then he said, I don't do it very often because it's inconvenient to some people. We sort of chuckled at that. And then he said, this is who you are. You are beyond birth and death. You are beyond pain and limitation. You are the infinite consciousness. You are divinity itself. You are everlasting life. You are constant, integrated awareness. You are pure love. Now, that's very important to know if that's really true. If that's true, that's important to know. There are a lot of repercussions that come from that. There are a lot of decisions and a lot of choices and a lot of attitudes that grow out of such a deep conviction. And how do you get such a conviction? If you're with somebody that can show you that, he can transform himself, he can do all of these things, and he tells you directly, you begin to have some confidence that this is real. This is real, and the understanding of it is just like gold. For us to say it to each other, for us to talk about it, for us to rest our minds in it, it is the greatest gift that we can be getting. When has a divine incarnation come like this that gives us this kind of wisdom, the deepest gift? One has such gratitude to understand what a gift this is. What a gift. It's the center of one's life. It is at the center part of all decisions. It is the center of the development of our attitudes and our relationships, to understand this, to contemplate it, and to lead our lives accordingly. And he says, to do that, to lead our lives according to this wisdom, to this information, this insight he's giving us, takes nerves, muscles of iron and nerves of steel, to have this kind of focus, this kind of conviction, and this kind of confidence. So, in the Hindu tradition, it's said that at a time of darkness, and Warren has said this, at a time of darkness and great ignorance and great pain, God Himself comes to earth to teach us the path to peace and to give us confidence to lead a good life and to try to, and not to try, but to take us out of the muck and mire, to give us some direction. Sai Baba said it like this: "For the protection of the virtuous, for the destruction of evildoers, and for the establishment of righteousness on a firm footing, I incarnate from age to age." He said this in 1968. I think it was his 42nd birthday. "Whenever disharmony overwhelms the world, the Lord will incarnate in human form to establish the modes of earning peace and to re-educate the human community in the paths of peace. At the present time, strife and discord have robbed peace and unity from the family, the schools, the societies, the religions, the cities, and the states. The arrival of the Lord has been anxiously awaited by saints and sages. Sadhus, spiritual aspirants, have prayed, and I have come." What an extraordinary declaration. Now, this is called this kind of incarnation. Divinity coming to earth to teach and love and cure and help and bring us up. This is called an avatar. An avatar, a world teacher with unlimited capacity to help, unlimited consciousness, and unlimited power. This is called an avatar. This extraordinary time in history. Could Sai Baba be a world teacher? Could he affect our slums where there is wanton killing and destruction, and people's minds, and many people's minds have turned to the mind of an animal? "I am not an animal," says Sai Baba. We have to say, "I am not an animal, I am man. I am not an animal, I am man." Is there a world teacher? Well, I'll tell you that in India, he's probably, without a doubt, the most widely known and respected Indian holy man. The president, vice president, and the prime minister are his devotees, as are most of the major central ministers of the government. I've been there when the president kisses Swami's feet, and you'll see it on the film. You'll see on the film thousands and thousands. In fact, 500,000 people are gathered at one point here. You'll see this kind of outpouring of interest and how attractive he is. You'll see the president of India. You'll see Swami coming out, materializing objects, taking letters, people asking him for help. You'll see him in Darshan where he's taking letters. You should know that he asks for no money. He asks that you not change your religion. He doesn't ask for you to follow him. And what he's taking when he takes these letters are people's deepest yearning for some kind of contact and to answer some kind of prayer. And so you'll see him taking the letters. Philip Englund, who is the filmmaker of this film, was most interested in Sai Baba because he felt that here was the possibility of a world teacher, and that in Sai Baba's service organization, there are thousands of service groups all around the world now. This may be the clearest example of a selfless service, of unconditional love, of the kind of love that's needed to treat the darkness and the people that are in darkness in this world. So that's what interested him in Sai Baba. At the beginning of the film, he sets the stage, and he begins with a scene in which Krishna is talking to Arjuna. He helps people understand from the beginning that the appearance of an avatar is not just a chance occurrence that's just happening now, that it's happened many times in Indian history, that 5,000 years ago, Krishna came with unlimited power and taught the lessons of how to lead a good life. And he was teaching Arjuna, one of his greatest devotees. That was the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita, one of India's holiest scriptures. So this film starts with saying, and now 5,000 years later, a man has come to India who says that he and Krishna are one and the same. And now, without further ado, we'll show the first part of this film, which shows Sai Baba first with his students. He's got beautiful schools and many beautiful students, some darshan and some talk from prominent people in India. For instance, you'll hear people interviewed. There is a recently retired Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court of India will be interviewed. One of the top five scientists will be interviewed, and many educators. You saw Swami with during his birthday with 500,000 people there, and so many wonderful people talking about the meaning of Swami as an avatar, as a world teacher. Isn't it something to notice that? You see, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that come to see him every year. And he opens the doors and people come. His service workers attend to the ashram so that it's handled, it's cleaned, and it's organized and structured. And they allow for the presentation of all kinds of programs, including conferences and celebrations and meetings and educational meetings, hundreds of thousands of people. It may cost you, if you're extravagant, 50 cents a day there. And yet it's done with this kind of orderliness. What a program is that? Just like here we have just a few people, no money, and it's a little orderly also. It takes energy and time and a tremendous amount of service people to tend a household, to make it so that people can come and feel that that it's warm and that it's orderly. That's a very important keynote aspect of Swami's programs, of Swami's ashram. Discipline, very, very important. Being good, being disciplined, being focused. In fact, he frequently says that the miracles are to attract and frequently should be considered tinsel and trash. Although I can never quite accept that. I find that they're really extraordinary. But he says that he comes to attract you in many different ways. You may have illness, you may have financial problems, you may have spiritual questions. And then he gives you what he would like you to receive, which is important. And that is the teachings. He gives us an insight that man has this great capacity to love and to be good, and in fact that man is divine himself. And so one then would ask, well, what is the path? That's very central, and this lady brings up that issue. What is the path? I'm going to give it rather quickly in a nutshell. And that is that, first of all, to understand, Swami is asking nothing of anybody. He's not asking for money. He's not asking for a new religion. He's not asking that you follow him. He asks that you be good. And to remember, he once asked me, am I a man? I said, I think so, Swami. He said, that's only half the truth. I am not animal. I am man. I am not animal. And he says this with great intensity, that a man must overcome the selfishness, that is lust, anger, greed, jealousy, attachment, ego. We must give up the hatreds and the selfishness and reach for high ideals and for high behavior. Truth, to live by truth and honesty, to do good actions, to be at peace, to be loving, and to be nonviolent, to not violate anyone, to not hurt anyone. To offer this to everybody as a form of love and service to all mankind, and to go beyond the differences and see in all people divinity, that this should be the way that one relates to divinity. Offer your best in the high values, offer it, and look for divinity in everyone. This teaching, and to give up all interest in the consequences of your acts, leave it up to God. This is actually a central teaching in almost all the religions that I know. To be good, to offer this as the central part of your devotional behavior, your devotional activity with God. And if you look for God every place and everyone at all times, He'll come to you, and that's the beginning of this extraordinary relationship between you and God, lived out by being good with our fellow man and uplifting society. This is central to Swami's teachings. He said, not only should we understand the teaching, should we think about God, should we talk about God, should we understand the philosophy, should we understand the teaching, we must put it in practice. And that brings us to the next segment. There are three major aspects to Sai Baba's program. One is spiritual. And you can see that he has built a large ashram, not at his wanting, his devotees have, where many programs are given, and millions of people have come for spiritual uplift. Another is educational program. Educational program is It takes a number of different forms. The one we're going to see is his university system in India. The question is, how can you take these spiritual values, these spiritual teaching, and make it the foundation and the basis of an educational system and a highly respected university system? We're going to see three campuses, which make up the university system called the Satya Sai Baba Institute of Higher Learning. Satya Sai Baba Institute of Higher Learning, now respected by the major leaders in India. In fact, in one segment here, the president of India is talking about the greatness of Sai Baba's educational program. How do you put into buildings and teachers and programs and curriculum a program based upon high spiritual truth and make it the center of a non-denominational university program which teaches at the basis how to be a good person, and all other information is secondary? If the other information is not based upon high values, it is useless. In fact, he says, politics without principles, commerce without morality, science without humanity, and education without character. Education not built upon character is not only useless, but very, very dangerous. We're going to see here his three campuses. The film crew that saw this, that were filming this aspect of Swami's educational program, said, these young students, they look too sweet. People don't generally look this sweet. Are they just living a kind of a fantasy life? When you walk on the campus, you don't fear for your life. People say hello. They smile. They are of service to you. When we sat down for lunch, the students came and served us. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Is it fake? And are they repressing their animal instinct, which is important to give vent to? Is it important to rob and steal and shoot? Or to perfect this sweetness? Is this a fakey sweetness? Well, you'll hear his students and you'll hear his faculty and you'll see the buildings and the programs that make up this extraordinary centerpiece educational program, which should be an example for educational programs all over the world. I believe that's exactly the reason he's developed this, as an example that an education built upon high principles and values and morals is a very vital and powerful educational system. I find it quite remarkable that there's a whole university community based upon Sai Baba's teachings that is substantial and is so well recognized and so outstanding in India. Now, we're going to bring this to a close. I actually had two more segments, and maybe another time we'll have another meeting and I'll show you the other segments. One showed something about Sai Baba's beautiful, high-tech, multi-specialty new hospital, which is already well-respected in India. It's an extraordinary hospital. And the president talking about Sai Baba's educational program and to see some of the scientific laboratories at the university and the computer center at the university. It really is quite impressive. Perhaps we can take one or two questions and then we'll bring this to a close. Yes? The third is his service activities. And there are thousands of service organizations all over the world. In India, for Swami's 60th birthday, his service organizations adopted 6,000 poor villages, providing comprehensive medical and social service and educational functions to the whole village. That's 6,000 villages. And in our centers here, we do a lot of feeding for the poor and other kinds of service projects. So spiritual education and service are the three wings of his organization. Is Sai Baba a world teacher? And is Sai Baba every place at all times? What we see here is more than, say, some kind of gossip about somebody supposed to be a holy person who is living in Midtown Manhattan and has maybe three people around him. We're seeing actually a world event going on here. Is he actually a world teacher who has the capacity to have some meaning in your life? He's not asking you to follow him, He's here to give us confidence that if we turn ourselves to this glorious spiritual dimension at such a dark time, this is the most potent time to do it. If we're born during such a dark time, when we're born, as we're born in such a dark time, he says it's the most potent time, but you just have to beware that you have to turn your consciousness to God. This is a time when there's so much distraction that it's difficult to do it. But if we do it in any name or form, in any tradition, he's not asking you to follow him. He says that there will be powerful chance for transformation. And many, many millions, I've heard a low estimate of 30 million, are already considering him a divine person. They turn to him, and there are thousands and thousands of stories of his actually coming into one's life. Direct yourself to this dimension. If it's to Sai Baba, my experience is that he is a living force day by day, minute by minute, in a million different ways. And he's here to give you confidence that in your own tradition, just attend more intensely and with a more open heart, and more pure and more full-hearted. And Swami promises that God will come into one's life. Thanks for being such a nice audience in Sai Ram.